You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Oh, aren't they all? And of course, some were out and about over the weekend. Welcome in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke on a Monday as we kick off Earth Week here on the Farm Show every day. Trying to remind you just a little bit that on most Wisconsin farms, every day is Earth Day. But you might not be aware of all the technology and information they're gathering on a daily basis to try to make sure that they're respectful of the resources they're in charge of and also thinking ahead about how that may become a real advantage data-wise, as well as things like carbon credit markets. That is going to be a constant theme you'll hear this week. Weather-wise, the theme I see this week is still not real warm. Today, about as good as we're going to get for at least the front part of this week. Cloudy skies on the way. 63 are expected high, and the winds are still pretty strong out there. Tomorrow, we've got rain in the forecast, 60 degrees. Wednesday, sunshine, but 58. That, to me, feels a little bit cool for this stage in April. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that. He'll join us in about 15 minutes. As we kick off our Monday Earth Day celebration, coming up next, Jill Welke up at the northern edge of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, catching up with a farmer that puts Earth Day practices into his fields every year. Jill Welke joins us next.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
To embrace the ideas behind Earth Day, I traveled down to the Driftless area south of Arcadia to learn about some conservation practices. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. I always like to hear about new conservation practices that are happening right in our area. I have Kyle Neil Sestoon. He runs Solheim Farms. And he's doing a lot of conservation practices to keep the soil in place for the future. First off, I'd like to find out some of the history of the farm.
I'm fifth generation on this farm. We started in about 1863 as a dairy, and we are now currently row crops, corn, soybeans, wheat, as well as beef cattle.
How big is the operation?
We're a few hundred acres of owned and rented land. We're about 35 beef cows. We're always looking to grow. We're experimenting with some chickens and stuff like that. Always looking for new things to try and experiment with.
And I'm meeting you here at home because you do have some work at home time, but you've got a little bit of history and a little bit of hands-in on conservation, but not even in this state. So a little bit of your education and how you got to the job that you're doing now.
I attended UW-Rural Falls. I have a degree in dairy science, which I can admit I've never used a day in my life, but it ties into my love of livestock. And I also have a minor in agronomy, which is what I was previous to what I'm currently doing between farming. But I was a row crop retail agronomist selling corn, soybeans, chemicals, fertilizers. I currently work for the Minnesota Department of Ag as an ag chemical inspector. And basically, I look at facilities, making sure things are being followed to law, making sure that things that are not drifting or things are not being leaked into the environment and stuff like that is probably the simplest way to put it, but also helping with applicator training and any kind of misuse or incidences that may occur in the territory that I cover.
And I always think you can learn things when you go and do a job. What have you learned from doing your job with being that inspector that you bring home?
Minnesota's a lot flatter in a lot of the territory I cover, but you know, those guys are beginning to do a lot of the same things we are here, cover cropping and trying the experimentations and stuff like that. So they're on a much larger scale than I'll ever be at, but I'm picking up ideas, techniques, equipment ideas, what they're doing, because it's a completely different world out there from what we're dealing with, other flat soils and stuff like that. But, you know, they're seeing some of the same success of keeping their soil down, keeping it from blowing, because blowing is a big issue out there compared to us as it runs off with water. So, you know, if I see some success of what those guys are doing, capturing snow, holding their soils down, it's like, okay, well, what are you planting out there? And I can talk to the guys at the co-ops and stuff that are, you know, working with these producers, and they've got a lot of really good ideas because they're coming from a completely different perspective than I am.
And it's very important to take care of that land and conservation practices. You have quite a few up your sleeves, but you've been a part of some organizations that have helped you get started. What are those organizations and how have they helped you out?
I work with Buffalo Trimble Farmers Network. It's a local watershed group driven by us, producers and farmers, literally just farmers. It's farmer-driven grassroots organization, as well as the Practical Farmers of Iowa. They're based in Iowa, but they cover a big portion of the Midwest. And they provide technical information, a little bit of funding, and some just knowledge and resources for guys like me who are trying to try new things.
How do they help you along the way? How do you work together with them?
The Farmers Network, Local Farmers Network, has grants from Department of Ag, Wisconsin Department of Ag, and it's kind of like a seeder money. It's just a little bit to cover some of the costs of the seed or of the practice if I have to hire somebody with some specialized equipment. I look at it as a way to bring in doing a few more things than I could probably afford on my own, or taking that bigger step and really going whole hog. Practical Farmers of Iowa, the other organization, they really are bringing in a lot of experience and wealth of knowledge from across the Midwest, and they have people with a lot of background in this type of stuff, from livestock to row crop to these cover crops, that they've been there and done that. So they're going to help me guide myself and get me through and miss some of the pitfalls and mistakes so that I maybe have a little bit more success and not as much pain.
Well, I want to back you up a little bit to some of the conservation practices that have been happening here at the farm. Then we'll move you into some of the new ones.
Farming in the driftless area of Wisconsin with our hills and topography, we've had to continuously adapt and improve. And we started with following the contours and contoured plowing back in the 30s. My grandfather switched to using herbicides and a little less tillage in the 50s and 60s. My dad in the 80s started no-tilling, and we've just continued to improve since then. And you know, that's what's led us to full no-till, cover cropping, and some of these other practices that we're beginning to experiment with, such as new crops and techniques.
What are some of the things that you have implemented in just the last couple of years?
Working with the groups, you know, they provide us some funding and just, I guess, starter money, just get that snowball rolling down the hill. And we started with winter wheat, which is a little oddity of a crop in this part of the country, this part of Wisconsin. And now we are into cover cropping behind the wheat, cover cropping ahead of corn and soybeans, and trying to get cattle on those acres to graze as much as we can. It's a large experiment. You know, we're not talking like a small garden. We're talking 30, 40, 50 acres at a time. And we just kind of jumped in.
We did do a little bit of a tour. Some of the benefits that you've seen from putting those cover crops on, is it keeping the soil where it's supposed to be?
Yeah, we had 2.5 inches of rain overnight here last night, and barely anything moved as far as water goes off the land. You know, we're looking at the land taking that water in, or if it is coming off the land, it's clear and not taking soil with it. And that's one of our biggest goals, is that we want to keep the water we have because we might not be getting more later. And we also want to keep our soils because I'm not going to be around long enough to watch soil rebuild itself. And I want to be able to hand that down to my sons.
Cover crops. What crops are you planting them behind, and then how do you plant into them again?
Currently, we're doing a lot of it behind our winter wheat because we have some time. We harvest in July, so we've got some more weather yet for things to grow. We're doing more and more behind our soybeans, and we're beginning to experiment behind our corn. We will then look at planting green, meaning directly into the cover crops in the springtime with our no-till corn planter and soybean planters, and letting the crop begin to grow before we terminate our cover crop. So there's always a living root. There's always a blanket covering that soil to prevent, you know, water and sunlight, you know, stealing nitrogen, stealing the soil away and drying things out.
And from experimenting with those cover crops, what are some of the goals and aims to having cover crops?
Obviously, we all want to have really good yields and stuff like that. But, you know, the biggest thing is the return on investment on the acre. You know, if I can save costs by producing using less nitrogen, we plant legumes within our row crop system to allow in our cover crops to allow us to produce less nitrogen on the acre and produce the same crop. But at the same time, as you know, there's some weed suppression things that happen with these cover crops. So water hemp is such a huge issue in a lot of our area, especially no-till. These cover crops are covering the soil, keeping it cool and preventing that water hemp from germinating. So that can save me money on herbicides and having to come back in and reapply things. Hoping for the same yields, but hoping to spend less money to get those yields at the same time, you know, doing a better job of keeping the soil where it needs to be.
Well, let's take a look into the future here a little bit. You do have a few goals that we talked about, getting those cattle out onto some green a little earlier and being able to move them around. But anything specific that you'd like to highlight, conservation realm?
Our ultimate goal is that we would be able to use little to no herbicide and no tillage. And I think that would save us a lot of money. Plus putting the cows across the acres and taking that free crop, you know, cover crop for feeding my cattle and continuing to grow our beef herd, but at the same time, having more grain to sell at the end of the year, more feed to sell at the end of the year to somebody else so that we're doubling and tripling up on our acres and doing a better job with less.
Always learning more about those conservation practices, whether it's in the driftless area of Wisconsin, south of Arcadia, or anywhere crops are grown. That was Kyle Nielsestoon. He runs Solheim Farms, south of Arcadia, in the beautiful Norway Valley. Working hard on conservation, keeping the soil on the fields where it's supposed to be. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like select 50-pound bags of AgriMaster poultry feed, $13.49. 2.5 gallons of Gordon's Weed and Feed fertilizer, $56.99. Save $250 on a 30-inch Cub Cadet rear-engine riding mower and a 6-foot square Shelter Logic shed in a box, $139.99. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Now that I refurbished my entire living room with Lazy Luxury, everyone keeps asking, is that a Lazy Boy recliner? What they don't know is that my budget allowed me to redecorate for a fraction with free in-home design included. I say yes. At Lazy Boy, customizable fashion and luxury can be this simple.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
Every time you saw her, she pinched your right cheek. She gave you a peppermint candy and that special wink. You loved Aunt Gladys. But now the boxes of precious moments, stacks of encyclopedias, and heavy outdated furniture is making you crazy.
At Two Men and a Junk Truck, we don't just remove junk. We restore your sanity. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomenandajunktruck.com today for your free estimate.
Keep what you love. Ditch what you don't.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back on an Earth Day Monday. Happy to have you along with us. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Stick around. We're going to catch up with our boy, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist. We'll find out what's in store for us weather-wise for the week. Well, I don't know about you, but my refrigerator is starting to fill up with invitations. That's where I put them so that I don't forget about them. I've got graduation invitations. They are going to demand my attention first. But then I've got a whole slug of wedding invitations that I'm going to try to attend as well. If you're like me and have a wedding invitation in your future, or maybe are planning a wedding, weather is critical to you, and so is the place where you're going to be holding that wedding, the venue. More and more people in the state of Wisconsin have turned to our beautiful barns as wedding venues. One of those people that is happy to see it happen in her area is Carmen Brigan Kutzma. She's an agent with Rural Mutual Insurance in Poinette. And she says, well, a lot of people that go to the weddings are all about the bride and the groom, the presents, and of course, the food and beverage. She is focused in on the venue itself, safety hazards, making sure that everything is proper when it comes to codes. Kutzma explains that you'll need event insurance for one-time gigs and commercial insurance, even if it's an event barn.
So you definitely need insurance if you are hosting a wedding on your own farm, because that would cover the liability extending from the event. Regular farm insurance does not cover that, and the wedding party should also have event insurance as well to cover any liability and to cover their personal belongings. If you own a wedding venue, it is actually called business or commercial insurance. So it includes liability extending from the event, and each wedding venue is going to be different. So it's important to meet with your agent to discuss what your situation is. Every building is different. Every venue is completely different. If they provide alcohol, if they don't.
I can already hear some of you now. Oh, we're only going to do it for the daughter once. We're only going to have family. We're not going to worry about insurance. Our farm insurance will probably cover it. Carmen Brigham-Kutzma is going to give you a little bit of something to think about. She explained some of the common claims that they end up with.
I guess common incidents would be, I mean, if there was a power outage or something like that and they had food on hand, or like a breakdown of sorts, like a heater goes out or something like that. And two, if they have employees, they have to have work comp insurance. So it does happen where obviously bartenders or employees get hurt on the job and then they have to have the work comp liability.
Yeah, all the little things you never think about when you're invited to a wedding in a barn venue. That's Carmen Brugen-Katzma. She is, again, one of the Rural Mutual Insurance agents up there in Poinette. Time to pivot now and talk weather on a Monday. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist along with us. So note to self, Stumach, if Katie decides she's going to get married in a barn, make sure it's safe.
I don't think there's any rush to make those plans, at least here, Pam, and I know it won't be in the barn out back, and, well, we've got a lot of other plans first. Let's start out today. A frosty start on this Monday morning. Kind of frosty and cool, no doubt about that, but it is going to improve today. There will be some nicer temperatures in store, warming up even a bit more than yesterday, but it's going to be windy, and temperatures rising, of course, will mean a few more clouds. This all plays out with low pressure that's going to build in from the west. A system just pulling a front on into the Dakotas this morning. That front will pass through Wisconsin into the day tomorrow, probably later on Tuesday. Now, there will be some rain chance. In fact, western Wisconsin could see a little shower late today for most of us in central and eastern Wisconsin, probably not until or after sundown tonight before some rain starts. And before you think it's all over, I really expect a tenth of an inch or two. That should be about it. But there'll be that rain chance around later on tonight, right on through Tuesday. We dry it out. It cools off a bit by Wednesday. In fact, there could be a little frost discussion again late Wednesday into Thursday. Temperatures will be moderating for the end of the week, but a stronger low just off to the south could mean a little rain again as we head toward the end of the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We're changing it up on our next farm adventure east. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod, October 19th through the 26th, starting in Boston and visiting a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyards, where we'll find out about alpacas and experience a sand dunes adventure, plus cranberry production. They don't do it like we do. Visit holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and a travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure.
Our Compere Financial Ag weather forecast is for the frosty start today and some sun, but clouds build in. There could even be a little rain in western Wisconsin late today. Up into the lower, maybe mid-60s, warmer in the southwest. Southwest winds increase today, 10 to 20, even gusting at around 30. Cloudy, breezy, some showers develop statewide overnight, down into the mid-40s, with the south winds 10 to 20, gusting near 30. Another cloudy, breezy day Tuesday, showers, possibility with thunderstorm, nothing severe. Expect a tenth of an inch or two total in the low to mid-60s yet tomorrow. Southwest winds gusting up to 20 and 30. And then by Wednesday, sunny and a little cooler, only up into the lower mid-50s at best. Northeast winds then at 5 to 10, warming a bit for Thursday. Some rain again as we head toward the end of the week. Keep in mind that frostiness Wednesday night, early Thursday. If you put something out in the garden or have some flowers coming up, you're probably going to need to take care of them at that time. And otherwise, Pam, really still kind of sounds like April weather.
All right, we got it. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with our Compure Financial ag weather update on a Monday. Compure Financial is your partner, be it agriculture or rural living. Find all the resources available and your local office online at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like Estate Lawn and Garden Fertilizer, $29.99. Save $250 on the Massimo T-Boss 760 UTV with power steering. Assorted mud flaps, 10% off, 15% off for rewards members. And save $50 on Lund tonneau covers. Rewards members save an extra $25. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
You've played Furniture Referee for years. Get your feet off the couch was your favorite call. Today, the house is all yours. Replace that old furniture with heirloom quality Portage furniture. Name brands with the kind of comfort that invites you to snuggle into it and claim your very own. And with customizable pieces, there's thousands of options to choose from.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
I'm Will Sweeta. As an engineer, we look for precision, quality, technical expertise, and products that solve long-term problems. It's what we do at Sweeta Metal Roofing.
Contact us about our eco-friendly and sustainable roofing.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweeta Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweeta Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Strange popping sounds coming from your jaw when you eat? Neck or facial pain? Unexplained headaches or migraines? Grinding your teeth or sleep apnea? These could be caused by TMJ disorder, the dysfunction of the jaw muscles and joints. The TMJ and Sleep Center takes a non-invasive, people-friendly approach to realigning your jaw muscles and joints using neuromuscular measurements and custom treatment plans. No surgery, no daily medications. To learn more or schedule a free consultation, visit TMJPainCenter.com.
This is Matt
and Pete Gunderson.
We recently celebrated the life of Dan, a devoted motorcyclist who enjoyed the freedom of the road with other bikers. His celebration involved a final ride in the saddlebag of his best friend, just the way he wanted. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
The stage is set, the crowd is holding its breath, and here we go. The tip-off for tonight's meal is underway, and Spudley waits no time, dribbling that Wisconsin potato, sprinting to the kitchen, weaving around pots and pans, and making a clutch shot right in the oven during this thrilling dinner menu matchup. Now, here's a meal that's certainly living up to the hype. Celebrate your own victories in a big way.
High five, Spudley.
EatWisconsinPotatoes.com.
If you're talking, they will hear you. Every single time.
Oh, we're getting killed.
Yeah, well, Kyle's not here.
How come?
Kicked off the team. Didn't Tim tell you? Kyle and some other kids got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Come on, it's a first offense, right?
That we know of. But why should that matter? He knew not to drink. I've made it clear to Matt, that's what we expect from him. What have you said to Tim?
Nothing really. You know, a lot of kids try it at this age, so.
Yeah, well, a lot of kids don't try it too. I'm not saying that Matt's gonna be this perfect kid, but if I don't tell him what we expect and why he shouldn't drink, how's he gonna know?
You think kids that age really listen?
They never admit it, Bill, but they hear more than you think.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with kids about underage drinking, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Some jewelry stores try to dazzle you with gigantic showrooms and tons of inventory, but honestly, you don't want to pay for the jewelry store. You want to pay for your custom piece. William Thomas Custom Jewelry is proud of their quaint location and modest reputation for keeping their overhead low and their prices affordable. Allow William Thomas Custom Jewelry to help you create that one-of-a-kind piece.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry, your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
What would you say is like the leader of this team now with Aaron Jones gone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Jones certainly was the leader last year on offense. I mean, now clearly it needs to be Love. He's, you know, Evo, it's tough to jump in and be a leader when you don't have the resume as a player to back it up. And let's be honest, a year ago, Jordan Love just didn't have the resume. He hadn't proven anything on the field. Well, you look at the second half of his season, Evo, where he was absolutely outstanding, probably a top five quarterback in the National Football League, leads them to the divisional playoffs, and honestly, Evo should come back this year as probably a top five MVP candidate in the league. He's undoubtedly your leader. You can go to some offensive linemen there. Evo, Elton Jenkins has been around a long time. Josh Myers has been around a long time. Rest of those guys are a little bit younger. Rashid Walker or Zach Tom or Sean Ryan, you know, guys like that, you know, but your leaders then are up front. And, you know, Romeo Doubs has a chance to blossom into a leader on that side of the ball. I would think, Evo, especially the way he performed in the postseason. But if you want to just look up at straight up leader, it's clearly best when it is your quarterback, when it is one of your best players, when it is your flat out best player. And Love turned into that a year ago. They've got more options undoubtedly on defense, Evo. They're going to be transitioning there, though, as we know, into that 4-3 base, and we'll see how that plays itself out. Kenny Clark's already and has been, Evo, a terrific leader the last year or two with a really young defensive line, especially last year when you look at that defensive line on a whole, Evo. It was really young with rookies like Brooks and Wooden, and then T.J. Slayton in his first year as a starter. And they were really young up front a year ago. Clark's still young himself, Evo, in at least in human years. I think he's about 28, but it feels like he's been in the league forever. He was a first round pick in 2016, so it's already his ninth year with the organization. Preston Smith, Evo's been around the block and around the league for a long time. With what they're paying Rashawn Gary, Evo. And the fact that this will be his fifth year in the organization, maybe in his sixth.
I think it's his sixth. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he was 2019, I guess, wasn't he? So it's year six for him.
Wild.
And he's more of a quiet leader, Evo, but he is, you know, he is a guy that's thoughtful and he's well spoken when he wants to be. I would say those jump to the forefront in terms of defensive leaders, Evo, probably Clark, Geary, and Preston Smith. Quay Walker's still a little bit young. Isaiah McDuffie hasn't done enough probably on the field yet. We've talked about Jair. He's not there. Eric Stokes has to prove coming back that he can, from injury. Xavier McKinney just showed up, Evo. So, you know, but hey, it's still going to be a really young roster, yeah, top to bottom, Evo. When we look at the last two drafts, 2022, 2023, that almost everybody from there is, you know, from those two units is still going to be on this football team. The average age of this group, of the team, Evo, is going to be extremely young. Then you're going to, right now, we look ahead to the 2024 draft. They've got 11 picks. I truthfully, Evo, I don't see 11 spots available right now for guys to make this roster. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Gutekunst sees it differently. I think he winds up taking this down to about 9 where he trades quantity for quality when it's all said and done, and he puts this thing together, and they don't have quite as many rookies on the field and on the roster as they did the last couple of years, Evo. But I guarantee you, when we do all the math in late August, early September, when we see the 53 that made the roster, Evo, it's still going to be one of the youngest teams, across the board in the league. So So they're going to need some of those guys we touched on right there to step up and become, you know, if they haven't been leaders up till this point, they certainly have, you know, the most experience in the organization, that it's kind of their time to take that leadership role.
You know, one of my favorite movies, Rob, and a moniker of the Packers, the Young Guns, coming up here, baby. Hell yeah. Hey, Rob. Hey, draft upcoming. Hey, yeah.
No, I mean, undoubtedly. I mean, we saw last year, right, youth in that league wins. It's a little bit different maybe than some of these other sports where experience a lot of times wins the day. But Green Bay showed last year just.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Spreading farm information and occasionally manure. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I don't know about that. We've got more rain in the forecast coming back around tomorrow. Today, mostly cloudy and 63. The winds are still going to be noticeable. Tomorrow, 60 are expected high with about a 50-50 chance of rain. Wednesday, some sunshine and 58 degrees. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. On this Earth Day, the 22nd day of April. Yeah, the first Earth Day was celebrated back in 1970. The event was organized by a 33-member committee in Philadelphia. Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson advocated Earth Day to focus national attention on ecological issues. The very first Earth Day began on this day back in 1970. What else do I have for you? On this day in 1977, optical fiber was used for telephone transmissions for the very first time, sending information over long distances by means of light pulses. And now we rely on them today, but it started on this day back in 1977. And happy birthday to this guy, Jack Nicholson. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, A Few Good Men. You got a laundry list of movies he's been in. Jack Nicholson, 86 years young today, and now you know. I'm sure you know, we had quite a throng of humanity that was at the Alliant Energy Center grounds all weekend long for the annual Midwest Horse Fair. Among the equine enthusiasts, our own Midwest Farm Report team.
That's right, Pam. The dust has settled at the Midwest Horse Fair, but there's still some buzz of excitement after the showdown of the second annual Top Hand Challenge. It was a competition of grit, showcasing a range of speed, roping, and precision, all for $5,000 in cash. And I had a chance to talk with Pam Bound, the competition chair, ahead of time about what these cowboys and cowgirls had to do in order to win.
The Top Hand Challenge is an event designed to showcase the talent of the rider and the horse. They're going to compete in a multiple of five events, same horse, same rider, all timed. Everything is timed. It's not a judged event. The horse and rider with the fastest time on five rounds is crowned your champion.
So who is competing then? Did they have to qualify for it? Where are they from? Kind of give me an overview of just who is doing this.
Okay, yes, they had to qualify, and we took the top five guys and the top five ladies came. And this year it's something exciting. It's our second year. We actually have a pair of brothers in the top five and a mother-daughter in the ladies division, and the mother came in ranked number one.
So take me through what specific tasks then are they actually competing in? You mentioned there's five different ones between the horse and them. Take me through what they're doing.
Okay, the first event they'll all be doing is the breakaway roping. They have to rope the calf with a bell collar catch around the neck, and then the rope breaks away and the time stops. That's event number one. Event number two is pole bending. They have to weave their horses up and back through a series of six poles. Again, fastest time wins. Every pole knocked over is a 5-second penalty. The third event is steer stopping. They have to rope the steer with horns around the neck or a half a head or slick horns and stop the movement, forward movement of the steer. The fourth event is heeling. The head ropes are already on the steer of a partner of their choosing. Once the steer has crossed a certain place in the arena, it will be turned, and the rider then is to rope one or two, optimum is two, hind feet. If they only rope one hind foot, it is a 5-second penalty. There's also barriers in the roping events. If they leave too soon, they get a 10-second penalty. And the final event, which makes it super exciting, exciting is the barrel racing. And they go around three barrels, either to the left barrel first and make two right turns, or the right barrel first and two left turns. And then we will add all the scores together. If somebody misses in the breakaway, they get one shot at catching the calf. In the steer stopping, they get two chances. And in the heeling, they get two chances. But if they miss, then it is a 75-second penalty added to their time.
So it sounds like this is pretty intense. These people have been working very hard to get to be here to the top five. So take me through maybe just what they have done to prepare.
They're practicing roping all the time, practicing their barrel racing and pole bending, but probably putting the biggest emphasis on their roping. They are, every single contestant is a highly accomplished roper. So none of these are that you would see at a barrel race on weekends. So the pole bending and the barrel racing is something foreign to them, but they're very comfortable with their horsemanship skills and their horses that they have chosen to use in this event. So it's definitely a teamwork between the rider and the horse. And then, of course, we're going to have, like I said, that friendly competition of the mother-daughter. And the daughter's coming in ranked fourth, and she is an all-around standout in high school rodeo. Everybody that's coming into this is quite recognized in their specialties. Three of them are great calf ropers, the team ropers, but they all are good ropers. This year, it's all Wisconsin. And one of our girls that came in second is a repeat finalist. And one of the guys in the men's side is also a repeat finalist. So that's exciting. We have a national high school rodeo champion breakaway roper in there. We have Wisconsin all-around cowboy and Minnesota Rodeo Association all-around. So it'll be exciting. It'll be very fast-paced. We changed the arena five times in less than an hour.
That was Pam Bound, chair of the Top Hand Challenge at the Midwest Horse Fair. She added that the Top Hand Challenge is more than just a competition. It's a celebration of horsemanship, camaraderie, and the enduring spirit of the Wild West. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Imagine planting, tending, and raising your crops all season long, only to discover a micronutrient deficiency is robbing your yield potential. Once you spot signs of nutrient deficiencies, it can be difficult to bounce back. Get ahead of manganese, boron, and copper deficiencies with Moxin from CHS. Designed with a patented Levisol chelate, Moxin increases nutrient availability and provides your crops with the nutrition they need. Ask your local CHS retailer about the power of Moxin.
So the markets were really robust on Friday in Chicago. One good news item that came out, there will be a 2024 summer E15 waiver for eight states, including Wisconsin. So that was welcome news for our Wisconsin corn growers, our Wisconsin biofuels industry, and really anybody that drives a vehicle. So that's 15% blended ethanol fuel known as unleaded 88 at the pump. So this is a savings for consumers between 15 and 20 cents a gallon less if you're using that unleaded 88. And the other good reason why that announcement on Friday was welcomed by the industry, without it, terminal operators would not have been allowed E15 to go to stations after May 1st. So that's a little good news for our corn growers and biofuels industry. On the close Friday in Chicago, December corn was up 6.25 at 466.25. November soybeans, 11.75 cents higher, finished the week at 11.61. July new crop wheat was up nearly 14 cents at 566.75. The barrel cheese on Friday was also up a nickel at 166. The 40-pound block cheese was up 7 at 168, while AA butter stood still, finished the week unchanged at 2.92 a pound. Fluid milk contracts were also doing very, very well on Friday. Taking a look at the May milk class 3 that goes into cheese, 47 cents stronger, 17.85. The June milk was up 49 cents at 18.12 a hundredweight. We'll have to talk to John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, about that one when he joins us tomorrow. coming up next. You know, you talk about the dairy industry, and of course, we all see the cows, right? But what you may not pay attention to is all the science, all the quality testing that goes on behind the scenes for our dairy industry to make sure every gallon of milk that comes off that farm is monitored. I'm going to talk about it next with Cheryl Harmon. She is the manager of the Fox Valley Quality Control Lab in Kaukauna. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Making a decision on new home furnishings is easy with Lazy Boy. You already know he only cares about the comfort, but it's the luxury and design you crave. You choose the style, patterns, and material, while he's imagining himself being seated right in front of the 50-yard line. Call it lazy luxury at its finest.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Cella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our Body Suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad to spend my Monday with you. Hey, today we want to focus in on something that you may not even stop and think about when it comes to the dairy industry. That is the quality behind the scenes. What I mean by that is most of us know about the dairy farm families that are out there taking care of the animals and the land. They help to produce quality milk on the farm. But there's also a lot of checks and balances in place in the state of Wisconsin to make sure that that milk is 100% pure and that it is providing our processors with all the quality they're looking for. That requires science. That's what I learned thanks to our friends from Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Now, remember, Farm First Dairy Cooperative is headquartered in Madison, but it has got members literally across five states in the upper Midwest. What they may not even realize as members, you own laboratories. Yeah, that's right. I had a chance to visit one. Drove up to Kaukauna, where Fox Valley Quality Control Lab is located. Cheryl Harmon is the manager of the Fox Quality Control Lab. She took some time and sat down with me to explain the science behind the scenes that continues to make sure not just Farm First Dairy Cooperative members have quality results that they can offer to their food vending partners, but consumers can buy with confidence. Cheryl Harmon explains some of the technology that they started with back in 1992 when she began with Fox Valley Quality Control Lab. And where they're going today.
In 92, we were running very small farms, very limited number. You know, you might have gotten your milk tested once a month, and now we're doing everyday testing. Bacteria-wise, we have gone from running agar plates to the Petrifilm to now we're running, we can run about 1,500 samples in a day on the Bacto scans and get your results the same day.
Yeah, you were mentioning about how instead of being kind of chemist, you're electroscientist now.
Yeah, we've become electrical engineers, is what we call ourselves, because we no longer do the bacteria part. We're running machines that require advanced knowledge of stuff I didn't know that I could even do.
Yeah, well, I took a walk around the lab, and it keeps moving at a pretty hefty clip. You said I missed most of the action today, huh?
Yeah, we start really early. Two of us are here usually by 4:30 in the morning to get everything going. We go through all the samples all come in on ice, and then we dig through everything and get them split to wherever they got to go, if they're going for bacteria, if they're going for components or whatever, or official purposes.
Right. Well, and you know, that's the thing. There's so much data generated on an average dairy farm these days. That milk sample is critically important. I don't think, we get the results and we see numbers. But Cheryl, that really is important to the bottom line.
Correct. Yeah. Most of your paychecks are coming from that very vital, important information that, your cell count.
Right. Well, and the quality premiums, if there's any still out there, that's all hinge on this.
Correct. Yeah. The quality premiums are a huge part. You'll have your field reps that are coming in from the different places, checking over to make sure their results are good and everything too, so that they're paying accurately for the farm and the best price.
Hey, Cheryl, what about antibiotics then?
Oh, that's a good question, Pam. Antibiotics is, there's this misconception, I guess you should say, that we often see labels on the milk at your local grocery store that say this milk is antibiotic free. And in the case of the dairy industry, especially the U.S. dairy industry, all milk is antibiotic free. And that's where our lab comes into play. No milk is unloaded off a milk truck or a tanker, however it comes when it's at the processor, until that one sample comes up and is tested for antibiotics. So at the plant, they might test it for antibiotics and say it does have a presumptive positive antibiotic. That milk will then be brought up to this lab, and then we verify that it's negative, and to keep that milk supply safe for everybody.
So that's something that both the dairy farmers should be proud of and consumers feel confident about.
Oh, I definitely feel so. I think Farm First members should be very proud of the fact that they are shipping antibiotic-free milk, and the consumers should feel safe that's what is happening in the state of Wisconsin.
And again, information is power in the dairy industry, in our lives. Talk to me about day-to-day interaction that this plant, this quality lab, might have with a plant, with an operator, maybe even with a dairy. Tell me a little bit about how those interactions go.
Day-to-day, they're coming into we're working with the dairy plants every day. They'll call us up asking if, a certain farm is at this level or if they're at this level, because they might be troubleshooting a problem back, back at the cheese plant even. Mm-hmm. And they're just trying to trace it back to where it could be. And they know that they can rely on our accurate results to get the answer they're looking for.
That's, again, Cheryl Harmon's along with us. We're up in Kaukauna at Fox Valley Quality Lab. And what people may not realize is this is part of Farm First Dairy Cooperative.
Yep. We are one of the divisions that Farm First oversees all of our day-to-day basic stuff. We work with our member services to get accurate results out. They come in and they'll also verify our machines once a month to make sure we're giving the accurate results out.
Right. And the other thing I'm wondering, seasonal changes or incidents, you guys see it in the lab, you can turn around and share that with field reps.
Correct. Yeah, we will definitely see, especially as the weather gets warmer, cell counts will start rising, plate counts will start rising. You might be able to troubleshoot stuff a little sooner if you can get on top of that before it becomes an issue at the dairy plant.
Well, we have to remind ourselves, Farm First Dairy Cooperative works with a lot of partners, we'll say. They may move milk from one place to the next, week to week, month to month, depending on where demand and price is. And that's why this is a critical piece of information to be able to market to those potential partners.
Correct. Yes, at any one time you can come up and say, we have this lab, here's the results, here's their quality checks every day, because we are under, stiff FDA and Department of Ag rules that we have to keep all our checks and balances in line with each other.
Bet you didn't know about all the science behind the scenes on every load of milk that is handled in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you, Cheryl Harmon from Fox Valley Quality Control Lab in Kaukauna, for spending all the time and giving me the tour of their great lab. Again, If you're a Farm First Dairy Cooperative member, be proud. You own Fox Valley Quality Control Lab, providing great scientific-based information not only for the dairy farmers, for those field representatives, but the end vendor users that are turning that milk into great quality dairy products. Find out more, farmfirstdairycooperative.com. All right, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation about Earth Day in Wisconsin, traveling to a dairy farm in Lodi, where Sydney Endress Fleck will share the story of Jazzy Jerseys with us. We'll also be catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor, TotalFarmMarketing.com. Don't forget, if you want to hear more of our conversations, as always, our podcast list is full with fresh audio from the Midwest Horse Fair as well. Just go to MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest